Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. It's great to have you join me. Damayanti means deep peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the gift of wisdom that shines in the beautiful and universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Damayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sarah Main. And today I'm going to be talking about taking action for freedom. This is my story. Taking action for freedom. And it's all about my aha moment. And I was at a music retreat and had one of those aha moments about taking timeless wisdom in Sanskrit, as unlikely as this seems, and using it to help people overcome fear. So let's get into it. I was at a harp retreat in the mountains. You know, what could possibly go wrong? But I'm linking it to what Dale Carnegie said. He said, inaction breeds doubt and fear, and action breeds confidence and courage. And when I was 10 years old, this is a personal experience. When I was 10 years old, I started learning the piano, as you do. My piano teacher actually was a harpist. She was training as a harpist. And the teacher one day saw me looking at the harp at the back of the room. There I was learning the piano, beginner piano. And this most beautiful instrument in the back of the room. And she said, oh, do you want to hear it? I'm learning this. I'm training. She was at the conservatorium. And so she just started playing arpeggios on the harp. And I just instantly fell in love with that sound and wanted to learn. I thought, I just loved it. So that was at 10. Well, in the intervening years, I didn't take up the harp straight away. I kept learning piano. I became a teacher and I studied. Of course, I was studying philosophy and meditation, Sanskrit, wisdom, mindfulness, before there even was the term mindfulness and the whole industry of mindfulness. I was learning that back in the 1970s and 80s. I was a school teacher. I had aspirations of teaching at university, but I got asked to teach at a school, so I went and taught there. So 40 years passed from that time of seeing and hearing that harp to now, and my husband, 40 years later, was going to have Spanish lessons. He wanted to improve his Spanish. He used to be able to speak it. It had got rusty. He wanted to take Spanish lessons and get my Spanish up. But he said, I'm not going to do it until you have harp lessons, because you've been talking about it for as long as we've been together, which was some decades by then. He said, and I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to take up Spanish lessons again until you pursue harp lessons. I thought, oh, I hadn't seen that coming. So I thought that was a wonderful thing. So it ran and lit the fire underneath me to actually do something rather than talk about it. So, and taking action, note what Dale Carnegie said, inaction breeds doubt and fear. Action breeds confidence and courage. So taking action, I had to actually do a little bit of research to get, it was like sort of getting into a whole area. And I remembered in my school teaching, I remembered a parent, his daughter played the harp. I thought, okay, that's a place to start. So with the beauty of a bit of social media, I was able to get in touch with her, and she gave me all the information I needed. And so that was a thread I was able then to follow. And within a few easy steps, I was in touch actually with my piano teacher 40 years later, and she was able to direct me to a harp teacher, and we had a wonderful conversation. I think she sort of only vaguely remembered teaching me, because by now she was principal harpist of a leading orchestra. and had a busy musical career teaching and performing. But she was able to put me on the right path, and I got in touch with my heart, what became a person who became my harp teacher. Was a lovely woman. And she, so there it is. It's a 40-year story to actually get where my hands are on harp strings, and I'm actually learning the harp, thanks to my wonderful husband, who said, "I'm not doing Spanish until you do harp." And he did take up Spanish. As soon as I got onto harp, he started his Spanish. So my harp teacher, I was still in the early phases. Look, I'm not ex expert at it, but I do love it. My harp teacher was running a harp retreat workshop weekend, and she said, "You should come along." So I went along, not expecting to really know much, about what they were talking about. But one of the sessions, she got a psychologist in to run a session on dealing with stage fright, because most of the harpists were professionals, they were performers, they were teachers, and they struggled with stage fright, and I hadn't thought about it. And the session was fully booked, and in fact, my harp teacher had so many applications for that session, she had to run a second one with the same psychologist for all the other musicians, the violinists, the flautists, the guitarists, who also wanted help with overcoming stage fright. So one was just for harpists, fully booked, and then another fully booked session in the afternoon, same one with the other musicians. I just went to the harp one, and I was amazed, like hearing all these harpists sharing their experiences, and I didn't realize how common it was. I mean, I can understand stage fright, but I just assumed professionals and performers were used to doing what they do, but not the case. And many, this is what really shocked me. Many of them talked quite freely about having gone to the doctor, and the doctor's giving them a script for beta blockers, and they were taking meds to cope, and this was common, quite common. And this just absolutely shocked me. And then the presenter, this psychologist, was talking about all sorts of aspects around, fight, flight, and the fear response and all of that. Things I sort of knew most, generally about because of teaching. But he was talking about it in more specific detail, which I found very interesting. And then he said, "Well, of course, there is the whole area of mindfulness. I don't know anything about it, but this is sort of what I've read." And then he just went through the theory of mindfulness, as one strategy that you could pursue for managing stage fright. And, at that time, I was listening to him going through the theory. And believe you me, at this time, I just sort of had almost an out-of-body experience, thinking, "Oh, this is something I can actually add value to. This I understand. This I have experience in. This I have teaching in. This I have taught. I could really help." And in fact, I had this thought that if God forbid, the psychologist at that moment couldn't continue and had to stop the presentation for whatever reason, I would be able to pick up where he left off and actually genuinely help and give some input using mindfulness. So that was my aha moment. It was just like, "Oh, wow. Oh, my God." And I just saw a whole avenue of what I could offer. Hard to explain, really. So that set me on a real quest, and I started researching. I read a lot of books. I listened to things. I really looked in more detail into the neural side, the fight, flight, all of that stuff. But I thought, well, look, all very well. And I read books, many of them written by psychiatrists, and in one form or another, the psychiatrist came back to the point that you needed some form of awareness, some form of mindfulness. And I found that interesting, that it was a full circle. And so I started then thinking, all right, what is it about confidence? We can talk about anxiety and fear and the stress response, the fear response, etc. But what is it about confidence? This was sort of a point I came to after some months of a lot of deep research. What is confidence? And not confidence, it's what I call conditional confidence based on circumstances and an area of skill or familiarity. Not confidence based on a confident personality. And not confidence that appears to come and go, just a natural confidence. So I started looking into English meaning of confidence, into the etymology of it. And I looked up 74 synonyms of confidence. Synonyms are words with similar or the same meaning. I had 74 English words that all related, were all talking about confidence. I looked at them all and then I started grouping them. They seemed to have a type of energy about some words were naturally grouped together. And I found I had four different types of feeling or energy in those 74 words. I couldn't go any further about in the English. It didn't, I knew there was more, but I just didn't know what. And then I thought, what is actually happening? What is the energy doing? What is happening when we are confident? A fundamental confidence, an inner connectedness, a steadiness, a strength, and a confidence. Nothing to do with personality or circumstances. And the immediate answer came to me was Sanskrit. Go and find out about Sanskrit. Well, I had a background in Sanskrit. What does Sanskrit say about confidence? So I left the English behind. I'm getting back to my roots. 3 or 4 months later, in-depth research. Sanskrit had 12 words that I could find for confidence. I'm sure there were more, but 12 was enough. And that took me months of deep research into the sort of the etymology of it. And then it was starting to form this incredible picture. There was an incredible depth in the wisdom. And then I asked myself, what do I call this? And that's it just came to me. The universe presented conscious confidence. I didn't think it up. It was presented when I asked the question. And then I was surprised when I started, after 3 or 4 months of all of this, I started looking at all the material. I kind of laid it all out and I showed my husband. I said, what, there's something here. I've got all this material. What is it telling me? And he said, put it, we just laid it all out on the dining room table. And he said, let's start grouping it. And sure enough, when I started grouping it, it fell naturally into four types of energy, characteristic energy, just like the English ones. Okay. I wasn't looking for that. And that's how the fourfold energy of conscious confidence was born. And then I came up with sort of more questions I had, but that was the fundamental, the start of the Fuse program, the focusing, uniting, simplifying, and energizing. The four steps, the four easy steps to conscious confidence, all from Sanskrit. There was a lot more that came from that, and I'll talk about it after the break. So I'm going to stop now and take a break. And then afterwards, I'll fill it out more how the whole conscious confidence story came about, how it filled out, and then how I went public with a radio show and a book, and then eventually to Damayanti. So I'll see you soon.
Are you knocked about by events? Do you find it hard to bounce back from life's challenges and disappointments? Are you pushed off balance by those around you? I used to feel that way myself, but I discovered a secret, an easy, practical, effective way to bounce back, to spring back, to rediscover my balance, poise, and inner strength. Sounds too good to be true? You be the judge. Find out for yourself. Hey there, I'm Sarah Main. Listen to my show, Damayanti, the show for your soul, and discover for yourself the power of Abhyasa, resilience, a beautiful Sanskrit mantra with the power to change your life. Find out how on my show, Damayanti, the show for your soul, where I speak about the power of sacred Sanskrit to transform your life. To find all my shows, go to my website, damayanti.store.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back to Damayanti, the show for your soul. And today I'm telling you my story about how I discovered conscious confidence, and it arose out of the incomparable wisdom of Sanskrit. And the story before the break, I got as far as the fourfold energy of conscious confidence, and then I started asking more questions, more and more questions about, all right, what's behind, what's the foundations of this fourfold energy of conscious confidence? And it became immediately clear that it was based on core values. What's important to you? What do you value? And then a positive attitude. You have to address this mindset and have a positive attitude. And that is a conscious decision. And it takes work. And that brought about what I called the heart of conscious confidence. So I looked into the Sanskrit of values and of attitude. And in all my Sanskrit studies over decades and teaching Sanskrit, I'd never done that. So what does Sanskrit say about values? And what does Sanskrit say about attitude? It was so revealing. So, and then I did more research into fear and fearlessness, all in Sanskrit, fear and fearlessness, balance, that is the alignment of body, mind, heart, and soul. And all of this knowledge and this wisdom pouring out from Sanskrit itself, from the actual language itself, it's telling us, it's right there. And I wanted it to present it in a way that people could understand. They didn't have to have studied Sanskrit. If this was going to be widely available, this wisdom is universal, then it needs to be, excuse me, it needs to be available in a form where people don't have to spend 10 years studying Sanskrit, excuse me. So I did some work on, I started sort of thinking about this, and I had the FUSE program, which was this fourfold energy of conscious confidence, focusing, uniting, simplifying, energizing. And then this concept of the fear shadow emerged, living under a fear shadow. And how it's like a cloud hanging over and blocking the sun, hovering over a natural confidence that we all have, our own great infinite soul. And it just covers it over and conceals it. So it's like living under a fear shadow. So then I was thinking, all right, how do I organize all this information? And all I needed to do was ask questions, and then the next step would show itself. And the key thing is, I took action on that. I asked the question, the next step was revealed. I took action on that. And so I started organizing the information. So it had to be practical as far as I was concerned. This was sort of part of my background, teaching background, and also how my spiritual teachers taught me, was it had to be practical and easily applied in real life. And then diagrams started appearing in my mind, simple, easy ways of representing the key information. And remember, none of this has got a word of Sanskrit in it. I can put all the Sanskrit in, but I would leave most people behind. So this is directly the wisdom of Sanskrit, but just presented in a way that's approachable and understandable. So the diagrams were a good way of me being able to sort of present this and go public. And there was no need for you to be a Sanskrit scholar, for anyone to be a Sanskrit scholar to develop conscious confidence, right? So we had the fourfold energy of conscious confidence, and then all the details of the FUSE program, F-U-S-E, focusing, uniting, simplifying, and energizing, and diagrams for all of those, which, you know, in my mind, I could easily put up on a PowerPoint and I could just talk to the diagrams. And that means no notes, just the diagram. And I could talk to the diagram simply, and the people listening could just learn immediately from the diagram, and the diagram would stay with them. The essence of the knowledge would stay with them. And I'll say it again, this is knowledge directly from Sanskrit. So then we have the heart of conscious confidence, which is the values and positive attitude. And they're the sort of secret sauce, to be honest with you, because that's like the real foundations, the values and the attitude, and then the focusing, uniting, simplifying, energizing. And then the whole thing about the fear shadow and living under the fear shadow. And so then the whole program sort of making conscious confidence a reality, and all of that being founded on questions. Because my one thing I did after I was teaching, after I finished teaching, was I trained as an executive coach, and I started an executive coaching practice. And coaching taught me, being a school teacher, I was used to delivering information, asking questions certainly, but also delivering information, as I am now. But in coaching, a lot of it is really based on good questions, so that the person you're working with, your client, the question brings the knowledge and the response up out of them, so they own that information. That's what's so powerful about a good coaching conversation. And so I started all these, I wrote this program of making conscious confidence a reality based on good focused questions. For example, core values, starting with core values. What is of highest importance to me? If I was asking this of myself, what is of highest importance to me? Am I present now? Am I aware of myself? Simple questions, because it raises the awareness. And that's around values. What's important to me now? Attitude, positive attitude. Is my attitude positive? Am I open to the potential of this moment? Do I feel grounded, strong, and creative? Am I taking ownership of my life? Things like this all underpin and help develop a positive attitude. Then focusing, what am I giving my attention to right now? What am I feeding with my consciousness? Can I keep my attention on what's important? Am I resilient when facing challenges? And then uniting. So all of these things, there were focused questions, and I'll just give you one. Do I feel patient and at peace with myself and others right now? And that's a great question. That's all to do with uniting, embracing all situations with patience, understanding, and an open heart. Then simplifying, staying with the essentials and letting go of the non-essentials. Here's a question. Am I remaining true to my aims, goals, and purpose? And energizing, that's the practice of living each day with enthusiasm, creativity, and vitality. Focus questions like, do I feel inspired, creative, and joyful each day? Am I having fun and experiencing delight? Do I inspire others? So this was a whole program based around this, a practice, and then these focus questions. And it could be done step by step, or you could zero in on the one that you immediately feel attracted to, that has an energy that draws you, that lights up for you. That to me is convincing, when information doesn't have to be done in sequence. It can be whatever, it's a whole program, and yet the bit that you need, you can take from, because it's contains all the others. The bit that lights up for you, if you focus in on that, I'll guarantee that all the others will be encompassed in that. And I could see from this, with conscious confidence and following this direction, following this wisdom, really, it was a way of living beyond limits, coming out of a comfort zone. I could see the potential for that. And it was amazing to me. And this was all, when you think about it, right back when I was 10 years old with the HAARP retreat to learning the HAARP, going to that HAARP workshop. And that was the real turning point in the HAARP workshop, the stage fright. And I started focusing on stage fright, just how to overcome that. And that's how I then got onto confidence, fundamental confidence in all situations, not just stage fright. And then going back to the Sanskrit, and then the wisdom in Sanskrit. And this was how conscious confidence, living beyond limits, was born. And it was truly amazing to me that the Sanskrit led the way. And that is the indication of real wisdom, real wisdom is like a light, and it just dispels the darkness. And I suddenly saw this way forward, and I followed it. And that also allowed me to bring in the best of my teaching skills in organizing the information and getting it in a way that could be presented to people. And also my coaching experience, in that it gave me, you know, I could bring in my coaching experience to know how to bring it out of people, rather than just lecture them, actually use the focus questions to prompt that response within them. So it was a wonderful marriage of coaching and teaching, but using the Sanskrit, which is my background, through mindfulness, meditation, self-awareness, wisdom, because that's what I had been brought up on. So that's a bit of the story. There's more to it, but that's the first part. And so I'm going to take a break soon. And after the break, I'm going to talk about how conscious confidence then evolved. And it evolved into a radio show like this, and my podcast. And then I wrote a book, which honestly, that bit I didn't see coming. And the book really pushed me and brought out some other amazing stuff. And then the next chapter, which is into Damayanti, For Your Soul, with what I'm doing now. So the whole thing has been a very natural evolution, from 10 years old learning the harp to 10 years old seeing the harp, to learning the harp 40 years later, to going to that harp workshop, and then bringing together the best of everything I had in terms of Sanskrit, spiritual wisdom, my teaching experience, and then my coach training and coaching experience, bringing it all together in this. So I'm going to take a break, and after the break, we're going to go public, which is conscious confidence. It's a radio show, a book, and a lifelong passion. So I'll be back soon.
Thank you for spending time with me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Damayanti, or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, damayanti.store. That's damayanti.store. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.